At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to VSiN's Long Shot. This is the postmortem of the Players' Championship. Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin coming at you here on a Monday. Kelly, we take a look. Scottie Scheffler, yet again, $4.5 million, 5 strokes clear of the next finisher in this tournament. And, you know, listen, we talk about this each and every week, and we say, hey, listen, the win equity of these top three players is so incredibly high. That is the reason why their numbers are so short, and also why we're getting these fat, juicy numbers on these other guys. Here we are yet again. Another one of the big three wins, and it wasn't even close. Again, 5 stroke. It took Tyrrell Hatton going 7 under for 5 strokes within Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, within inside of Scottie Scheffler for this tournament. You know, it's one of those things. Look, after Thursday's round, I was able to get in on Scottie at +510. He was
nice,
and that's half of the odds, obviously, of what he went off at. But this is kind of what we talk about before, right? I had a entire tournament of sample size. We were looking at a field in which this course already showed that it had the potential to either really eat them up, or when the conditions were okay, they were able to score on pretty good. It seemed like the right picking there for Scottie Scheffler. So again, not near the, it basically just kind of got me back to even on the week, maybe a little bit, but boy, this is why we say this about these guys. It's why we say this about these top three guys. And it's going to be that way in every single one of these elevated events as we move forward.
Yeah, that was you made a smarter bet than I did. I actually bet him, but I laid $2 on yesterday, during yesterday's round.
Win's a win's a win's a win. I mean, like, it doesn't.
A win is a win, yeah. But it was a sweaty few holes there, at least. I don't want to say it was a sweaty back nine, because it wasn't. Eventually, he did run away with it. But, it's when you're figuring out that live math and what's worth making a bet on or not, especially in that kind of situation, well, it becomes a whole lot different when you're playing on a course like that one, right, where there's water all over the place and things could, in theory, rapidly change. So, no, you're right. I'm glad I got down on it. A small losing week for me. Overall, but yes, those guys are amazing. And look, when Scottie, I mean, like he barely putted, you know, he barely gained putting, right? Like he's just, he's that good, man.
He didn't have to have his A game to win. And that's what's scary. Right? Like that's the scariest thing. We were talking about like that with Rom, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where it was like, he was actually had a C game and finished third in a tournament. Here's Scottie Scheffler without his A game. And he wins by 5 strokes, Kelly.
I mean, I'm just looking at Tyrrell. Like, I'm looking at the. Oh no, I'm actually looking at round four. I was going to say those are ridiculous numbers for Tyrrell Hatton. But yeah, I mean, like Tyrrell Hatton's so good tee to green, like gains putting, and it's just still like you're nowhere close to what Scottie Scheffler's doing. You're just nowhere close. So yes, I think it's going to continue to be a theme throughout the season here. I think some interesting, the one of the big three that we haven't talked about as much has been Rory. I thought it was interesting to hear him, his comments this week of just him feeling like he's been distracted from his game, having to deal with all the PGA Tour Live stuff, and was really going to focus on buckling down as we head into the Masters here. And
good to hear, because it's the truth, because like they've made him the de facto face of the of the PGA, and it's like no one's asking him about golf really anymore. They're asking him about all the political stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Like, he didn't even get questions about golf anymore, right? And like, I actually kind of understood what he was talking about.
Yeah, me too. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's tough. You know, like, it's tough to feel bad for a guy like Rory, but at the same time, it's one of those, like, I want other guys to step up and say so. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be on him to be like the captain of the PGA Tour with like Tiger in the background helping out, right? Like, it shouldn't be that way. Like, all these other guys, you know, even like, okay, a guy you and I talk nonstop good about, but like guys even like Max Homa, right? Like, Max Homa, you have your career over in Scottie Scheffler, you two, your careers over the past year have flourished on the PGA Tour. Like, you are the starlets of the PGA Tour right now. Stand up and say something, man.
Well,
like, why does Rory have to take all of this?
Well, it's the line of questioning, right? Like, because when Scotty goes to the booth and when Max Homa goes to the booth, they ask him about their game. They ask him about, like, the round that they just shot. They ask him about the course, how the course playing, all that, stuff like that. Rory goes into the press room, and it doesn't matter. They're just like, so anyway, you hate Phil now, right? Is, I mean, you know, it's like that's the first question that comes out. It's like there's nothing, and look, I get it, because you're trying to get clicks. You want sound bites, and Rory's going to give them to you. You know, like, and as a journalist, you know, the guys that give you, Kelly, you came from, you know, traditional journalism. I came from, like, you know, the guys that are going to give you the goods, and when they give you the goods, you keep going back for more. And that's what you get with Rory, you know? And so
the other thing that's tough about this, like, I'm just realizing, like, I'm like making them sound like I'm mad at these other guys for not standing up and say something. Like, well, okay, it might be a PGA Tour versus LIV thing, but also at the end of the day, this is an individual sport. It's not like these guys are all playing on the same team. You know what I mean? It's not like, I have to keep that in mind with other people out there too.
The other thing from a betting standpoint, we did all this hand-wringing, you know, oh, they're going to limit the number of people that play these elevated events. And oh my God, what's it going to do? Look at the leaderboard. Scheffler, Hatton, Hovland, Hoagie, Matsuyama, Homa. And then Rose, Sung J.M., Cam Davis, Colin Morikawa. Like, it's all these damn guys are playing in the thing anyway. Like, it's like, this is ridiculous. We're done with this conversation. I'm not listening to it anymore. Like it doesn't matter. Like, it does not matter at all. Like, look at the leaderboard. That's what the way it's going to look. All those guys are qualified. All those guys are going to get in. All those guys are going to play. It just is what it is. I think one of the things that really did stand out to me, though, about this thing is, so Kelly, Max Homa, T6 yet again. So another big finish for Max Homa in a big tournament. And then we also get, I'm not going to call it a melt, but we get just Colin Morikawa, the same thing that we said. And look, this isn't, if Wes was here, we would say this in front of Wes, whatever. But when Wes said that he was on Colin again this week, we actually broke it out. And you and I both said, like, look, the win equity on Colin is at those odds, specifically heading into this tournament. There's just no way I can possibly do it. He comes out, shoots 65, and then goes three consecutive rounds of 73, 72, 71, and finds himself T13, never even contending after day one in this tournament. And like, I think Colin is a good golfer. I think he is not necessarily in the elite of the elite conversation right now with the way his game stands. I don't think he's in the same voice as a Scheffler, a Homa, a Rahm, a Rory, like whatever it might be. I don't think he's there until I see four rounds in one of these big tournaments from Colin Morikawa again. And you know, we know that he can do it in any singular round. Hell, he started off the tournament with a 65, but then he comes back 73, 72, 71. And we're betting our hard earned money on short odds on this guy. And that's the thing. It's different if we was 70-1 or 50-1 or hell, even 40-1. He was 22 heading into this tournament. And there's just, I can't put my money on this guy that I think's win equity is not even anywhere close to that.
Yeah, it's just shot right now. I don't know what the problem is there exactly, but there's something going on. And look, you hit on it, though. It's the part of right now, right? And Wes brought this up, actually, this morning on a numbers game, talking about Scheffler, where some of these guys, you know, it really is, you know, golf is, it's up and down, right? Like, you go through streaks where you're playing really well. You go through streaks where you're not going to get those wins home. And we saw Rahm's string of dominance, and we'll see if he bounces right back to that whenever he plays next. And this might be Scottie Scheffler kind of on the upslope here. This is kind of how it works with some of these guys. The other guys I want to focus back in on too are some of the ones that I think we've nailed down pretty well here. And it's the, like, look, I'm not betting outrights on Victor Hovland, Sung Jae Im, like, until they win too, right? They're kind of in that same category. But where do they keep finishing, Matt? I mean, they are still right up there. And I think these are, like, Sung Jae Im is like a top 20 machine right now, what this guy's doing. I know he said, I don't know if you caught this on the broadcast yesterday, but apparently he's been playing with a tight back. And like he's like just playing through it, and like the commentators were like, yeah, like maybe he should take a week off like every once in a while. And like apparently Sungjae said that was affecting his play. And I'm like, oh my god, man, this guy's crazy. He just keeps playing and he's hurt. But he's right there. We've brought up both those guys, Hovland, Sungjae Im, Max Homa, me and you keep going back to the well with him. And that top 20 gets home. Even then Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay too, right? Like those are those guys that are on that, I think, that tier down from those big three, but like they're right there. They are right there basically every week. And right there is pretty far off, you know, it's 10 shots off the Scottie Scheffler this week, but still, you know, as far as the rest of the
pack, exactly. But he was five strokes right clear, the second place finisher. So like, it's like, but you're talking about in the thick of it. And that's kind of what it's all about. And again, like, I'm going to say this again, T13 for Ricky Fowler yet again. Like the guy, Jason Day. Look, his T19 on Jason Day. Listen, is there win equity there? I think probably not. Like, I don't think Fowler or Day is going to be winning any of these super deep field tournaments anytime soon. But I can tell you this, Kelly, give me these top 20s and you probably at this point, because of the way they played, you're going to be laying a little bit for top 30s and top 40s. But I mean, look, we bet minus 130s in baseball and it's like, we don't think anything of it. Like that's just normal. It's like in golf, we feel like it has to be a plus number or we're doing something wrong. And like, that's just not the case, right? Like ticket cashing is a ticket cashing. And so I will ride this hot streak on these guys as long as I can until the wheels just completely come falling off. But look, Ricky is just going out there and continuing to put up good scores in these really deep field tournaments. And I think that is something that I'm going to pay attention to as well, man. So I think the only other real, I mean, you mentioned Rory missing the cut here and what he said. So that's obviously a huge takeaway. But I think the other takeaway for me here, and look, I admit I bet him this week, and I think it'll be the last time I bet him here for a hot minute just to kind of see what's going on. Maybe we're getting a little bit of a second year slump out of Tom Kim. Look, it's one of those things where you come out on fire and, you know, everyone's writing articles about you and you're getting all these interviews and maybe you let it get to you a little bit and you saw how he, you know, wanted to kind of soak it all in. And that's some of the stuff I love about him for sure. But we haven't seen four consistent rounds from him in a hot minute either, right? I mean, he starts this tournament off two over, even par, then one under. I mean, don't get me wrong. He made the cut. He's T51 on the week. He's still getting a paycheck. But, you know, I'm betting him outright, right? I mean, he didn't sniff. He hasn't sniffed that in a long time, right? And so I think for me, just going to need to see him give me three good rounds. Like even if you have one bad round, give me three good rounds, something I can run with and say like, okay, now I feel confident coming in, putting an outright ticket in.
Yeah. I completely agreed with him. I've always been on the kind of wait and see approach with him. Yeah. So I really haven't been caught up too much in it, but I understand. I mean, the guy there is talent there for sure. That's undoubtable. My big takeaway from this week, Matt, is it's the biggest takeaway, I would say, is just selfishly, it's going back to the drawing board. I think sometimes you always need to reevaluate the way that you're handicapping and the way that you're betting. And those are two different things. And for me, this week might have been the best example ever of, I think I handicapped this tournament really well, and somehow I ended up still losing a small bit of money on it. Okay. And this is, I'll just walk you through some of this. Like Patrick Cantlay was, Scottie Scheffler was my highest rated guy in the field. Okay. He was my number one rated guy heading into this tournament. And besides that minus 200 live bet I put on him, I didn't have any other action on. Now, is it hard to, obviously, we talk about betting outrights at such short numbers, not something really interested in doing. There wasn't really any matchups I was interested in. There's limited ways you can obviously play a guy that's that short, right? But you have him, I have him rated as number one heading into the tournament. You and I were both on Tyrrell Hatton, who ends up finishing second in this,
right?
Right? An outright that finishes second. Patrick Cantlay, Jason Day, Max Homa. Now, I cash all top 20s on them, but I got lucky on two of the three of those, right? And it's like, I can't have this many guys that I'm this high on finishing the top 19 players of a golf tournament and not be making money, right? Like, to me, that's unacceptable. So it's one of those, I think it's one of those things, just with different things with golf betting. It's going to happen, I guess, but it shouldn't happen. And I think you need to always be reexamining your process, both of how are you handicapping a tournament, how are you betting a tournament, and what did you screw up? The postmortem is important. Postmortem is important. Wes and I talked a little bit about it, and it was kind of, it sounded like he was kind of in the same boat, and we figured out mainly that he had a lot of more matchups go his way, where I kind of got the bad draw, some matchups. Yeah. Even with players that didn't play poorly, but I just got outplayed by other players. You know, like, I lost a Wyndham Clark matchup to Denny McCarthy. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Like, I don't think it's a bad bet on Wyndham, but Denny McCarthy goes and wins that. So just something I wanted to throw out there. I think it's a good reminder for people to always be evaluating and reevaluating the way you're doing things and attacking things.
Yeah, and listen, I also go back and look at all these outrights that I made. I mean, you know, for me, they all made the cut this week. It's just none of them really contended, right? I mean, we already talked about Tom Kim, and he goes in there and, you know, never even comes close to really contending. Keith Mitchell, another guy, you know, never really comes, he makes a cut, but doesn't really come close contending. Ryan Fox, who, you know, look, I'm not hating myself for that. It was a 225-1, and also, like,
I had
a minimal amount of money on it, but, like, it leads me to believe that at least I'm on the right track, right? I mean, a guy that's 225-1 finishes T27. Yep. I feel pretty great about that. I had a 300-1 on Aaron Rye, who finishes T19 because he goes 75 on Sunday, because guess what? That's why he's 300-1. You know, it's like, that's why he's 300-1 because he can't close, right? So 75 on Sunday. Everybody was scored on Sunday except for him. So 75 for Aaron Rye. But again, it leads me to believe that I'm on the right track here. It's just kind of refining how I go about everything, like you said. Like, maybe it's not an outright on these guys at all. And I know it's tempting at those super long odds, but maybe it's better served to put that into a top 40, you know, and like, whatever, you're still getting plus money. If a guy's 225 or 300-1 to win the thing, you're still getting plus money on bets like that. So I do the same thing. Can't lay T19. Again, we know you already talked about how high we were on him whenever we were coming into this tournament. And of course, Max Homa there at T6. And so it's like every outright I bet made the cut. And so it's like, I feel, you know, like that's at least a step in the right direction. It's just one of those things where none of them were really actually contending, you know, at any point. So,
I mean, the only guy that I really felt like I was off on, it was Keegan. He just went full Keegan on us though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was, you know, we played with fire and we got burnt. You know, that's what happens sometimes with Keegan Bradley. Okay. You have to understand that going in, but yeah, I don't know. I think this is a great tournament to just kind of walk away learning lessons from. You know, I think golfers do it all the time. As bettors, I think we got to do it too after some of these tournaments. Because that's, I mean, shoot, man. Like, I think this is one of the tournaments I probably handicapped the best all year. You know what I mean? It's just how do you walk away, you know, barely making any money.
But listen, guys, just to put a bow on this, and we'll take a look at next week. Kelly, listen. Golfers are people too, and golfers are people like us too. And Max McGreevy reminded us of that this week. Round two for Max McGreevy. He started on the back nine. Bogey, par, triple, par, par, bogey, 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 par, bogey, double, triple, double, par, double, and then the hero birdie on the 18th hole of the day. The hero birdie to finish 17 over, an 89 for Max McGreevy. And somebody said, dude, how did you shoot? You know, it's the old joke, Kelly. You're like, Max, how the hell did you shoot 89? And he's like, well, because I birdied nine. That's how I shot 89. Because not I shot 90. like, you know, so an 89 for old Max McGreevy there. And, you know, listen, pro golfers are golfers like us as well, Kelly. So well, that makes us feel good about these things.
The other guy I got to bring up in that same vein, because I was loving this when I was seeing this, was it was Aaron Wise in that round one where he pulled the full Roy McIlvoy, whatever his name was, from Ted Cup, where he's like, give me another ball. Give me another ball. I'm hitting it from right here. Give me another ball. I mean, I think he put three in the water off the tee on 18. And it was just like, nope, I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again. I got respect. I got respect for that.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And then, you know, then
that was
you
his
hit
first
guys.
Round, too. It's not like he knew he was missing the cut. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, no, screw this hole. I'm going to beat this thing. Give me a ball.
And then we had the unbelievably awesome round two of Lucas Herbert as well. Not an 89, but he shot an 85. But an 85 that included an 8 on a par 3 and a 9 on a par 4. So it's like that's one of those deals where I just look and I say, God, that makes me, listen, every time I just smoke one in the water or I hit one out in the rocks out here in Vegas, I can just say, you know what? Pro golfers do it every now and then too. So I'll take that. But good tournament all in all. Like I said, I think we weren't too far off, even though we didn't call. I mean, listen, this is the other thing too, and this is actually where I'll put the bow on this. We could just call Scotty to win every time he tees it up. It's like you know what I'm saying? It's like we're trying to offer other golfers that we feel like have a chance to actually maybe compete in all this, but like the odds are what they are, and they're correct for Scotty Scheffler and John Rahm right now. Like these guys are, that is how good they are and how good that they play. And so I'm just, you know, I'm not beating myself up over this tournament. I'll put it that way.
No, not at all. Yeah, no, I hear you. Not at all.
So let's head over to the Valspar. And guys, before we start talking about the Valspar here, if you want to go ahead and hit the pause button, go down, give us 5 stars. Really do appreciate that. And go ahead and maybe, you know, subscribe. If you want to leave a review as well, because the reviews apparently help us. So, you know, go in, just say like, I like Kelly's beard, whatever it is, anything, just write something. Hey, it helps us climb up the charts there.
That's right. You might not be able to see it at home, but when we record these, I can see myself and I constantly can see how good my beard is. Actually, I've been staring at it for like half this podcast.
It's glorious.
It's got this little flip at the end right now, Matt. I got to do something about it. I don't know what's going on. I got to cut.
When's your next haircut, buddy?
Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah, so okay. I have one Wednesday as well. So we'll both be fresh. Come Thursday. all right. So Valspar Championship, this does not have the type of field that we've had in last week. And certainly in the last few weeks here, your odds on favorite is Justin Thomas. If that tells you anything, considering Justin's kind of trajectory of late here, he is 11-1 to win this thing. Jordan Spieth, 12-1, Sam Burns, who's won back to back here, 16-1. Matt Fitzpatrick is 18-1. Then it jumps all the way to 25, Kelly, with Fleetwood, the Keegs, and Justin Rose. Then we get to kind of into that 30-ish range with Hadwin, McCarthy, Wyndham Clark, Justin Sun, Davis Riley are 35-1. So guys, you can see where the shift is in this field depth really, really quickly here, where, you know, Brian Harman is 35-1. Matt McNeely is 40-1, right? We've bet Gary Woodland already this year at 110-1. He's 40-1 in this tournament. So like you can see how the depth is just not there for this one. Kelly, I did preliminary runs just because I wanted to take a look at certain things. And this is not to say, don't listen to our podcast work, because you should, but like, I am not going to have a very big card this week. Nobody jumps off the page to me. These odds are incredibly short on a bunch of, let's just say, you know, I mean, look, outside of JT and Jordan, I mean, I guess Burns made the cut this week. He never contended, but like, at least he's kind of getting back on the right track or something. But
yeah,
there's not a lot that inspires like confidence in me in this field. And so probably going to be a couple of mid-range guys, couple of dart throws, and then we'll just kind of move on.
So I went over, and I try to do this every Monday, where I'll just grab my model from last year and kind of run it real quick and see what spits out this year. That is not, like Matt just said, it is absolutely tune in tomorrow, because what I use the year before is just a building off of point. Mm. It's usually a bunch that I end up tweaking from the year before. But having said all that, look, I don't know. There's a few names. I think there's some chances further down the board. I hear you. It's a gross field, But shoot, this is, you know, a gross field was the Honda Classic where I got an outright home on and had a huge tournament with a first round leader too. I don't know. There's a few names I'm actually kind of interested in this week. It might be something with Woodland. I mean, look, Justin Rose been playing some interesting golf here recently, sixth last week. Now he had two missed cuts in a row before that, but you know, he won at Pebble already this year, 18th at the Farmers, 26th at the Amex. He's been playing some pretty good golf. Adam Hadwin kind of jumping out to me as well. Here, 13th at the Players coming in, that you can get a little bit longer number. And then another guy, Matt, that I've bet so many times, top 40, top 20. I think I'm going to go back to, and maybe not an outright number here, but maybe still in a finishing position market, is Wyndham Clark. He's another guy that's just is up there again for me. He's striking the ball so well right now. I think he's a guy I'll continue to play. So, I don't know. I don't know for sure. You're right. Tune back in tomorrow. I'm definitely going to have bets on this tournament. Sounds like you'll be a little lighter than me. But I don't have that total. I don't have that total buzzkill feeling, because I don't think there's anybody at the top of the board that I'm really interested in. You know what I mean?
Like, I do think Spieth is like probably the class of this field right now. And that's crazy probably. Whenever we have Justin Thomas in the field as well. But if we're talking about just consistency, Spieth has. He's going to frustrate you at times, and there's no doubt about that, because he's going to have a blow up hole and whatever. But like, if we just talk about consistency over the last year, Jordan Spieth has been more consistent than Justin Thomas over the last year. And like, so he probably is the guy in this field. Of course, we do know Burns has won this thing back to back years. So there's something about this course that he likes over there at Innisbrook. I'm, you know,
as big of a Burns guy as you are, though, would you not be shocked if he just turned it on all of a sudden and won this week?
Not at all, but at 16-1 odds, I'm not going to pay to find out. You know, like at 16-1 odds, I'm not going to pay to find out, right? Like if I lose out on a Burns win at 16-1, I can live with myself. It's the when it gets to 80 and 90 that we saw a couple of weeks ago. Those are the ones I think would be tough to swallow, but. Yeah, if I lose a 16-1 Burns outright, then, you know, so be it. I think I can live with all of that. I mean, you know, there are some other dudes in this tournament that certainly, like Justin Suh has actually been playing really good as well. Yeah. The problem is his odds like are literally less than half of what we normally get him at. He typically is in that 75 to 80 to 80 range. He's 35 in this field. That said, 35-1 on a guy that, again, I think has been playing some really good golf. I imagine when I run my models, I imagine when I run my model, he's probably going to be like, you know, pretty high, I guess, you know,
he is number one in my last 24 round model.
Yeah.
So again, the model from last year, but still, yeah, he is number one. And recent finishes, sixth of the Players, 24th at the API, fifth at the Honda, 40th at the Genesis, 20th at the Farmers.
Yeah.
That guy's been playing great.
Right. So, you know, at the very least, I can only imagine I'll have some, at least a placement market bet on him. Right. I mean, like in this field, you would think, I mean, you're getting plus money on him at the top 20s are listed over at DraftKings already. Plus 180 on him for a top 20, you know, in a field like this, you're nearly getting 2-1 on a guy that, if we're talking about recent form, you just spat it out. I mean, he might have the best recent form of any of the guys that with shorter odds than him, really, even, you know, I mean, like when it all comes down to it. So,
yeah, so, some of this is crazy just looking at his stats, what he's done. So how about last week, gained 7 strokes tee to green. Okay. You go to the Honda. The API, he gained 4.3 strokes gained putting, at the Honda over six strokes gained on approach, and then Genesis and Farmers over 4 strokes gained putting again. So he's been putting lights out. It's only like each week, one part of his game has been spiking major, but it's usually been the putter.
Yeah. So, you know, look, again, I think while we typically see far, far bigger odds on him, in a field like this with very little depth, as we just mentioned, as far as like big time star power, 35-1 might be something I'm going to be interested in. And, you know, I imagine once people really start digging in earnest and they're going to see the stuff that you just spat out there, Kelly, maybe those odds go away. So I might have to try to get in sooner as opposed to later here on Sub before we let those odds drift a little bit. But again, tune in tomorrow. Me, Wes, Kelly will go in. We'll break down all of this stuff. We're going to answer a few of y'all's questions as well. So if you do have any further questions you would like answered on air, we're going to add the segment in for the podcast. So at Kelly Bidlin, at Matt Brown M2, if you want to shoot them our way, we will certainly take them into consideration so long as they benefit the masses? Like, you know, if it's a very, very personal question, don't say, you know, don't do that. But like, if you think it's a question that benefits the masses, the people that might be listening here, we will certainly add it to the rundown and get to those. I think we already have three in there, you said. So we got three that we'll be answering this week.
Three good ones. We'll go over tomorrow.
And yep. So if you have any more, be sure to fire them over and we'll get them into the rundown to talk through tomorrow when we go through everything. Kelly, any parting shots here with everything? I mean, listen, I guess the only last thing I could say is, you know, the in-tournament stuff has kind of saved me this year a couple of different times. You know, listen, getting in, I have no shame in not going into a tournament with a Scottie Scheffler ticket, seeing a round. I have 18 holes of golf sample size. I have a better idea of what the weather is going to look like. I have a better idea of what the draw looks like, all the things like that, where everyone else stands and coming in. And yeah, I didn't get the 10-1. I got +510. I get half of whatever, but I have all of this knowledge and information to work with, as opposed to, you know, Rom withdraws. Like, I mean, like I'm getting like that's value in mm-hmm. my direction, that one of the best players in the world withdraws. So I'm gaining information as the tournament progresses. And so again, I have no shame in not going into a tournament with one of these big dogs and whatever, just coming in later and do it. I mean, you did it. I did it. I don't know if Wes did it or not, but like, I have no problem doing that.
Yeah. I think the other thing I'll just say, you know, say lastly is that I think the amount of second place outright finishes that I've racked up over the past year there's been one benefit of it. It really made me understand we always said it because we always bet these, but really how much those finishing positions, tournament matchups, mm-hmm. Not only, I don't even want to just say can save your tournament, keep you afloat till you hit that next outright. No, man, it's just a way you can bet golf too. Like, you can bet golf, you don't have to bet a single outright. Like, my outright card is good. Like, week in and week out has been way less players. And there's, for people out there, I know that's always like the big draw of betting golf, but kind of like you're talking about with laying -130 and how we don't even think twice about that when you're betting a baseball game. It's like, okay, there's nothing wrong with it grinding out +125 top 20s week after week after week. Like, right. That's winning bets, man. Like, that is winning bets.
And I'll take it. Like, exactly. You know, and I will take it. That's the other thing about it, is just the little wins go a long way. Certainly whenever you're grinding golf, and like, let's just be for real. It's a grind. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. it is. It's a grind. Like, we're grinding this. And so it is. It's one of those things that we will continue to preach here on this podcast. Guys, for Kelly Bidlin, I am Matt Brown. Hopefully the players treated you well, and hopefully we can make some money here on the Valspar. Tune in tomorrow.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.